I've been a marriage and family therapist for over 20 years, and I've also been on my own spiritual journey for almost that long. Both of these experiences have taught me that mental and spiritual health are inextricably linked. Without an understanding of our spiritual selves, it is difficult to maintain emotional well-being, as at some point we will face something in our lives that throws us off balance and requires us to rethink why we are here. My wish is to share some foundational ideas that have helped me to make sense of my own life and also have allowed me to work with others in finding success in overcoming their unique obstacles. Perhaps these ideas will also inspire you to see yourself and the world around you a little differently, a little more sweetly. I'm Jenny Carroll. Welcome to My Perspective. Welcome to the Jenny Carroll Perspective. For our last episode in this series, we are going to take a bit of a detour. I want to explore something that has always been a priority of mine, something that brings me great joy, although to be honest, sometimes frustration, anxiety, and overthinking, but always worth it in the end. This is something that at first glance may seem superficial, unimportant, and very much contrary to the overall message of this podcast. But that is exactly why I would like to share a few thoughts on it today, to dispel some myths about what I would argue is both an essential and joyful part of life. And that is beauty. The quest for beauty has always been with me for as long as I can remember. My desire, and I would go so far as to say my need for beauty, has not been limited to my personal appearance or even to my immediate environment, although both of those have been priorities. For me, having access to beauty in all ways represents the freedom we have to move past the limits of what we struggle with, to access something greater, something special. My personal relationship with beauty began from birth, I'm sure. My earliest memories, I have a couple around the age of 3 or 4, are both directly connected to beauty. The earliest was going to a garden center in early summer with my mom and grandma. I was allowed to pick out my own flower to plant in the backyard. I chose a yellow marigold, which I think was gently encouraged by my mom. I remember standing in front of the rows of flowers, feeling both excitement, but also the weight of responsibility for choosing the most beautiful one. If I really focus on it, I can still access the feelings that experience created. The second memory is a shopping trip with my grandparents. Living in the rural Upper Peninsula of Michigan, we had to drive to the nearest town, Iron Mountain, about 25 minutes away. Iron Mountain was home to a JCPenney and some other shopping beyond the drugstore in Ben Franklin's that my tiny hometown offered. I remember getting several items of clothing that day, but the one thing I specifically remember is a white coat with pink buttons. I felt so much love for that coat, which was, in maybe my 4-year-old mind, the epitome of beauty. Growing up, my family didn't have a lot of extra money, yet somehow my parents provided everything we needed and even a little more, especially for the important things. My mom loved to decorate, as did my grandma, and conversations about interior design, even if I was just listening, were plenty. Fashion and beauty was another frequent topic, and the desire to look my best, whether it was a new outfit, a haircut, the unfortunate perm, or whatever it was that I needed to feel and look my best, my desires were always validated, even if I needed to be patient for the fulfillment. When I look back on my most valued possessions of childhood, I'm again reminded of my need for beauty. Shortly after the wedding of Charles and Diana, at my passionate request, my mom splurged on a coffee table book about Princess Diana. This was a big deal, as I know the book was expensive and certainly not a need in any way. I love that book, but I think I loved it because the images in my mind were beautiful. When I was in high school, I had another prized possession, a ficus tree that my mom had had in our living room for several years until somehow I convinced her to let me keep it in my bedroom. I love that tree because it brought beauty into my room. In fact, after being awkwardly transported back and forth to school to serve as a prop in a play, it started to die. I personally nurtured that thing back to health, which was quite a feat, as anyone who knows me knows that while I adore flowers, I do not have a green thumb. Which brings me to nature. I grew up in Crystal Falls, Michigan, a town of about 2,500, framed by trees and lakes. While it didn't have much else, we were surrounded by nature and the beauty it provided. For several years between the ages of 4 and 7, we lived on the edge of some woods that happened to have a bubbling brook right beyond our backyard. I remember spending a lot of time playing around that stream, watching the water flow over the stones and carry the stick or the leaf or whatever else I could find to throw in, be magically transported down its sparkling path. Even in my childhood mind, this was beautiful. Another natural wonder in the UP were the spectacular autumns. The thousands of trees turned vibrant red, gold, and orange and created a gorgeous backdrop and sense of wonder and became and still is my favorite time of year. So clearly, my desire, my need, and my quest for beauty is innate, hardwired. But my purpose in sharing these memories today is really to challenge the idea that beauty is not important, or that it is superficial, or that it lacks purpose. I would argue the opposite is true. Beauty is essential. In fact, it is representative of something greater than ourselves and speaks to our deepest purpose. Why does beauty get such a bad rap? I think in our culture, we have a love-hate relationship with beauty. And there is often comparison or jealousy attached to it. Too commonly, beauty is believed to be reserved for a select few: the wealthy, the famous, the entitled. And furthermore, because we associate beauty with this group, it unfortunately gets intertwined with what we perceive as the negative, stereotypical characteristics assigned to those we consider to be the haves in this world. As a result, the pursuit of beauty seems to be scrutinized and easily judged. Let's be honest, there is a dark side of everything in life. Even good things can have less than good motivations. If beauty is pursued in a way that hurts others, or is used for power or control or manipulation, then that is a problem for sure. Yet even in these situations, beauty itself is not at fault, whatever form that may take. It is the motivations of the fearful, wounded individuals or organizations that need to be addressed. What is important to understand is that we are all entitled to beauty. No one is excluded. But within this truth, we must also recognize our own worthiness. Our worthiness doesn't have anything to do with who we know, how much money we have, or our God-given physical appearance. Our worthiness is and remains independent of the details of our lives. In order to access beauty in the ways we most desire, we must accept our intrinsic worth. Acknowledging our innate value opens the door, giving way for all things beautiful to step in. Without an acceptance of our intrinsic worth, then the desire for beauty falls into one of two unfortunate categories. It may become an unhealthy obsession and in an attempt to hide our shortcomings, or perhaps even worse, something completely missing from our lives, an experience we don't even attempt because we believe it to be beyond our ability to create or access. So why does this even matter? What's the big deal? Aren't there more important things to consider? Perhaps. But make no mistake, beauty does matter. Beauty matters because in our temporary world, our earthly existence, beauty gives us a foreshadowing of something more. It hints at something bigger, more expansive, more wondrous and extraordinary than what we generally recognize in our limited, disconnected world. Whatever form of beauty speaks to you, it is an expression of divine love. The grandeur of beauty reminds us of our own most authentic state. Beauty is meant to connect us to our truest selves, to remind us of our intrinsic worth and the fact that we belong to something much greater, much more exquisite. Beauty is meant to elevate our senses. Our senses are the vehicle given to us to experience beauty. Sight, sound, smell, touch, and taste. Beauty can be accessed through all. We are easily connected to the beauty that we see, glorious landscapes, amazing architecture, physical perfection. But there is so much beauty available through our other senses. Beauty in sound, voice, poetry, music. Beautiful music may be in the ear of the beholder, but no one can escape the joy of an authentic melody, rhythm, or lyric that speaks to your soul. Smell. From chocolate chip cookies baking in the oven, to a fresh cup of coffee, to the light and floral scent of a favorite perfume, smell may be one of the most powerful avenues to beauty. And then what about taste? For all of you foodies out there, you know the beauty encapsulated in the taste of something wonderful. The first sip of your latte, the first bite of a perfectly ripe summer peach, a perfectly prepared ribeye, it's all there. And finally, the one we most overlook is the feel of beauty. The shape and texture of the perfect pen, the feeling of holding a paintbrush or violin or garden rake, and how the sensation supports us in creating more beauty. Of course, nowhere is beauty found more readily than in nature. The awesome, expansive, glorious beauty found in the magnificence of mountains, the brilliance of sunshine, and the powerful splendor of the ocean is the universe speaking to us. It's hard to miss, yet we tend to take much for granted. When we encounter beauty in nature, we are stopped short. Our senses are elevated. Our awareness is heightened. And we are more present and open than at any other time in our busy lives. Nature's beauty is the universe speaking to us. My grandpa used to say that his garden was his church. I didn't really get it at the time, but I most certainly do now. May I leave you with this idea today? Beauty is your right and also your responsibility. Beauty should be nurtured. Cultivating beauty is a way to strengthen our connection with each other and the thread that binds us all. The experience of beauty is an aspect of intrinsic worth. If you feel that beauty is lacking in your life, then consider whether or not you are connected to your intrinsic worth. You are worthy of beauty, but you must create space for it. Creating space starts with believing that we are worthy of beauty and all of its multifaceted expression. For me, living life well is living life with beauty. I will never apologize for this, as it is not only the essence of my own authenticity, but of divine universal love, of which, whether or not we realize it, is within us all. My loving suggestion is to take stock of how beauty plays a role in your life. Is beauty neglected or overlooked? Where is there room for more? Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this episode on beauty inspires you to bring more brilliance and extraordinary into your beautiful life. You are light and you are love. Thank you again for joining me today. I do understand that the ideas shared in this episode and any future episodes may generate questions. These concepts are meant to be considered, questioned, absorbed, and hopefully embraced in different ways at different times. This short discussion is meant only to initiate that process. If you do have a question that I might clarify or perhaps answer in a future episode, please don't hesitate to share it in the comments. I sincerely appreciate your input and your participation. If you are interested in the ideas presented today and would like to hear more, please consider subscribing to the Jenny Carroll Perspective. Much appreciation, much love.